Channel One Right, the beginning of that little visit with Buster about 5 o'clock this Friday afternoon, the 4th of December, 1970. This surprise visit, Buster came up to crank my big red Chrysler on Friday about 5 o'clock, the 4th of December, 1970, Channel One Right. And the beginning of this visit, surprise visit with Buster in the kitchen with... about 5 o'clock, this 4th of December, 1970. This is the beginning of the visit with Buster, Channel One Right, and the beginning of the visit with Buster this Friday, about dark, 5 o'clock, the 4th of December, 1970, Channel One Right.
I just want Buster to smell
something.
All right. Now, let me tell you, Buster, you know, you don't have to have high priced stuff. That's just plain old pudding cake, isn't it?
There
it
is.
Yeah, that is. They give us just one little small slice, not enough to make it.
Yeah.
Make us.
Okay.
Want more.
Want more.
Don't give us enough just to make us want more.
No.
Or buy a cup of coffee with it.
No.
No, I don't.
So, a glass of tea, water, something.
I like coffee once in a while, but you know, I don't drink too much coffee.
No.
Now, at breakfast, I drink about 2 cups. But the rest of the day, I don't drink none.
That's all right, breakfast. Breakfast time to drink if you're going to drink it.
Yeah, that's what I do. But in the afternoon, I hardly ever touch it.
Do you have percolated coffee or just old instant coffee?
We have both.
Well, let me tell you about
it. And I'd rather have the instant coffee.
You have?
Yes, sir.
This freeze-dried?
Yeah.
I can't make that freeze-dried taste like anything.
Well, put plenty of it in there. I use a heaping teaspoonful, and it always tastes all right. My wife, I tell you what she does. Whenever she percolates that coffee, got a brand new percolator.
Yeah.
And she'll, good night, you must think I'm hungry.
Hey, don't get him.
That's not a big piece.
And she gives me too much, you know.
Yeah, she gives me.
Wait a minute, excuse me. She, my wife, when she recollects that coffee, she don't put enough coffee in it.
Yeah.
I like mine strong. I like my tea strong. Boy, that cake does smell good. That's pound cake, isn't it?
That sure is.
Yeah, plain old pound cake.
That's what I like too.
Now you see, you don't need all that old fruit cake. It's so rich, you know. It just
put on a full pound?
One piece, you know.
Eat a half pound and gain 4?
Yeah.
So, if I go ahead and use that instant coffee, that dry ground, like you're talking about, you know, I can always judge just about enough to put in there that
yes.
I get it just right.
Yeah.
And...
Well, now, what do? For you put in that canned cream or that powdered cream?
Put in that powdered cream, but I don't like it. I'd rather have a canned cream.
Yeah, I had too.
That powdered cream ain't no good. But my wife likes that powdered cream.
You know, there's...
But I don't.
Some people don't like it because it's right rich now, but it used to. We always keep that little can of
pet ain't that good?
Milk on the table, and you just pick it up and just like a... just, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Shake it in there.
That tastes like an old-fashioned cake, don't it? Like it ought to.
It's never as good as when it's hot.
No, I don't.
You say it's not good when it's hot.
I say it's never as good as this is the best time.
Yeah.
I just took it out.
Well, can you heat it won't do the same thing with it?
No. Gotta dry it.
You can't heat it over, you mean?
Mm-mm.
We'll get you a bottle of rum pouring it, and then that'll keep you moist. Some people do that, don't they?
Sure.
Pour a little rum under something.
You can put a little butter on it and toast it or something, but...
Do the same thing with it.
This is when it's the best, right now.
Well, that's the best I've ever eaten.
That's good enough, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
A fella could work himself to death and get rich.
That's as good as you need.
Mm-hmm. That's good. One of my girls made a cake last night. I didn't eat none of it. I don't care too much about cake, but I like a pound cake. She made a chocolate cake and put pecans in it. It looked good. I'm going to try some of it tonight.
Yeah.
And a cup of coffee.
Just that old plain pound cake.
I like a plain pound cake. Listen to me. Pound cake.
Yeah.
And better than I do any. Sarah Hazel Whitehurst up there. She's a price now. She's on the prairie up there. I used to have those cake sales and make it up. She'd always make a pound cake, and I'd always buy it.
Is that right?
Because she lived out in the country. She had plenty of eggs, and she'd always put plenty. That's the main thing in a pound cake. Plenty of eggs, isn't it?
Now, who is that? Hazel?
Hazel Price.
Price.
Mm-hmm. And she makes good pound cakes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now...
She don't make them quite as good as Faye Miles does, but she's pretty good, see. That's good pound cake, too.
Well, this is not original, is it, see?
No, it's just an old sour cream pound cake.
Sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know her?
I imagine so. Her husband got a ranch up there on the prairie.
Yeah.
On the left, just for the prairie.
I just know him when I see him.
Mm-hmm.
But he hadn't been there all along, has he?
Yeah. They used to be in the dairy business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did they?
Her daddy and him. As a matter of fact, he started work there as a boy. And he married that Price girl. Well, she's a Whitehurst then. He married that Whitehurst girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then later
and he
on...
he worked there.
Yeah, he worked there and kind of got an interest in it. Mm-hmm.
And her daddy owned it?
Yeah.
Whitehurst.
They had a big dairy up there.
Whitehurst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the first things I ever did when I come down here, I stopped off there, and I was looking around for some baby calves, you know, just...
They used to have them out there. I mean, you got some out there, didn't you?
I forget whether we got them there or not. And I went in there, and I knew several of them.
Hmm.
The next thing I knew, they'd gone out of business.
Well, the old man had a heart attack, you know. He had to quit.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm. And Jimmy run the thing for a while, and I guess he just got tired of it.
Yeah.
Been doing it all life, just like I am about that garage. I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. You just get tired of doing one thing all the time.
I know you do.
And he got tired of it, so he decided he'd go to ranching, so he just held all those cattle and turned them into beef cattle.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he done?
Took them and started off well, he already had a herd, you might as well say, so he just added to them, you know, and
yes.
Had plenty of grazing territory out there on that prairie.
Yeah.
So he was set up in business right,
he was,
right there.
Yeah, he didn't have to move at all.
Mm-mm. No.
I wish I know him, you know, I knew him when I saw him, but I don't know her at all. And you knew her.
Oh, yeah.
And she grew up there?
Mm-hmm.
She about your age?
She's a little bit younger.
Yeah?
Yeah, she grew up there.
And she cooked the pound cakes out of the
mm-hmm.
pure butter?
Used to, when they had bake sales, you know, up there. They used to sell cakes mm-hmm. on the sidewalk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the school was in making it, they used to have a lot of that. And you could always depend on her bringing in a pound cake or two.
Yeah.
And I'd always try to be there and get one of them, or get my wife to get it, you know, because it was always good, you know.
You know, I was talking to Juanita, and she said in her daddy's store, Juanita Patterson,
mm-hmm.
what was her name?
Denton.
Denton. That in her daddy's store, they'd all spoken for Ms. Grandma Rawlinson's butter. And when she
we used to buy it, I remember.
Yes.
She'd make it and send it in there.
Yes.
And sure would. You know, I done forgot about that
yes.
until you mentioned it.
They didn't have to put it out there and sell it. They just put it up on the shelf there.
It was always sold for whatever come in the store.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
What?
Just that good.
She made real butter. And she had real buttermilk. Not like that stuff I got sick on yesterday.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, you better watch that stuff. What is she like? I never saw her.
I went in there and bought a gallon of buttermilk. Been a long time since I had any buttermilk.
Yeah.
Old man Peace up there, you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Old man Peace told me not long ago, said, you know, sir, you can't drink too much buttermilk, says that stuff kill you. But I just figured he's a radical, you know, because
yeah.
he's bleeding and such as that. And I asked him, I said, why? He said, well, that stuff ain't buttermilk. That's old chemicals.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. So yesterday, Ms. Weaver owed me, let's see, $1.20. So I said, I think I'm just going to get me a half a gallon of buttermilk. Oh, I didn't got me a half a gallon, you know, in that container. And I said, wait, she said, well, you got 6 cents coming. I said, I'm going to get another then. So I got another and I went home and I drove me two big old glasses of that stuff. And that stuff's heavy. That old buttermilk isn't thick.
Yeah.
That's not butter in there, that yellow stuff you see.
Yeah.
That's chemicals.
Yeah.
And by George, I was sick as a dog.
Why?
And my wife got sick too. She told me yesterday, she said, man, I was sick yesterday. She says, and I know what it does, that buttermilk, I said, that's what made me sick then. Man, I kept going around the garage there, you know, and I felt like I was about 3 times bigger than I was, you know. That stuff kind of, I told Bertie, I said, that stuff put gas on my stomach. I was going around there belching. I said, I'd belch enough gas if I'd have had my mouth over a gas tank I could drove 3 miles. But I bet you I don't do that no more. Today, this morning for breakfast, he said, you want some more buttermilk? I said, yeah, I'm going to try some out just see what it'll do. I just got me a little small glass this morning.
Yeah.
And it done the same thing, kind of. Kind of bloats you up, you know.
Yeah.
So I ain't buying no more buttermilk. I want no more.
But I like good.
I do.
Real.
I like that taste.
That old churn buttermilk.
But now you get that old churn buttermilk, you can tell the difference right away.
Now, Ms. Rawlinson had that.
Yes, she had that, too.
Grandma Rawlinson.
Well, my grandmother used to make it. She sat on the back porch and had an old churn. Then she had a great big old jar. She'd sit up there and just get in that old chair and rock and shake that thing like it were a baby, putting it to sleep. And she made buttermilk.
Oh, I don't know how was that made?
And they shake it up, you know. Had it in a jar and just regular milk. And they'd keep shaking it until it turned to butter.
Or just shake it.
Heck
and
yeah.
She sat there in a chair and rock.
Yeah.
And shake it.
Yeah, I've seen her do that plenty of times.
Just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
And she used to have clabber. I used to enjoy that, eating clabber. I ain't seen none, I don't know when. She used to have a great big old dish pan, a clabber pan, because the thing wasn't about, I guess about that high.
Yeah.
And she'd fill that thing full of milk. I believe she just set it out there on the back porch.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be just as white and clean.
Yeah.
And that clout, you know, you could cut it just like you would a cake of butter, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And it was good, too.
Yeah, so you didn't have to go visiting to get good food when you had that.
You sure didn't. Well, them were the good old days, you know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Buster, if... I don't know why they don't do something like they used to. But they got a doctor.
People don't do it, but one thing like they used to do a long time ago, that lie and steal. They still do that, like they always done. They don't ain't changed that a bit. But as far as everything else is concerned, they've changed it. Changed the way of living, you know.
Buster, you remember when people used to have a hen house and somebody would come around at night and get 2 or 3 hens, put them in a crow sack, take them
on
home.
Yeah, and I remember an old possums used to come up there. My daddy get up in the middle of the night, hear an old chicken. I said, uh-oh, possum done got my old hen around the neck.
Yeah.
I think he just loving her up a little bit, and she thought he's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
But anyway, the old man get a shotgun, go out there, and you'd hear him, bow-yow. After a while, he said, well, I got an old possum.
Yeah.
That was the biggest in town got killed last night. That's the biggest one ever I seen.
But he didn't eat his possums? Nobody but... Niggas eat possums?
Niggas about the only people I know of that eat possums. I don't know of any white people at all that eat them. You might find some occasionally, but I've never heard of anybody eating.
I used to know white people would eat them, but there's always baked in sweet potatoes.
Yeah. Well, it's so greasy. A possum greasy, see?
Yeah.
And that's one reason I don't think I'd care for them. I wouldn't want too much grease, you know.
Does that mean he's rich?
Yeah.
Just rich meat.
Just rich meat.
You sure as
hell. And they'd always put sweet potatoes.
Yes, sir. I remember seeing a many one, and you know, I never did take a taste of one. Isn't that awful?
I never have either.
And just.
I never have tasted a coon.
No, I
didn't. And I was talking to a woman the other day that never had tasted a piece of goat. I said, well, you missed something. You ain't never had no goat. Goat's
That's
good.
Right. Goat is good.
You take barbecue goat?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Why, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
A barbecue is not a barbecue unless you got goat.
No.
That's right.
You take steak and pork, beef, and all that stuff at a barbecue, but they always got to have goat. Eat them at a church affair. Whenever I was little, I used to have goat.
I never saw it at a church fair.
You haven't? I have. I believe I have, maybe not.
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't.
I know the reason why they shouldn't.
Fourth of July is the time I remember.
But these ranchers out there used to throw barbecues, you know, and they'd always have goat, I know. They'd have all kind of meat.
Yes.
But I'll tell you one thing they didn't have. They didn't have no barbecue chicken. And now you see plenty of it. Barbecue. Every time you go to a barbecue, now you see barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
That's right.
But everybody don't know how to barbecue chicken to make it good, you know?
No, it's uncommon.
I don't know if one person knows how to cook chicken to make it good. Old naked woman right there making up it.
Everybody I know?
No. I don't believe you do. Her name is Elizabeth. There's something that I've forgotten her name now. Her husband used to work down at the mill. And she cooks that, makes her own. Well, no, old Jack Herring can do it, too. Jack makes the same kind of sauce she makes. Full of hot pepper.
Yeah.
And it cooks through and through.
Because
she brought some up Ms. Weaver's one day, and I told her, I want to get that recipe.
Yeah.
And old Jack and I had done some barbecue in there one Saturday, and I noticed he had the same kind.
Mm-hmm.
He made it just like she does.
Oh, really?
It don't have all this old red stuff like you get out of these bottles.
Yeah. Yeah.
That barbecue sauce looks just like water.
Oh?
Looks just like water with plenty of black pepper in it. That's just the way it looks. And you put it on there, it'll soak on in there. It don't stay on top like this barbecue sauce does.
Yeah.
And boy, it's hot. That's the way I like it. It's as hot as you can get it. It don't make a difference how hot it is to me.
No. Now that's, you know, seasoning. I never like seasoned foods. I like... You eat beans. I like the taste of beans, but I always love pepper, and you couldn't hardly get it too hot.
Well, that's the way I am. We generally get this little pods of pepper, you know, that red hot pepper, you know, so hot you can't eat it, and just cut up a few little pieces and put in a pot of beans.
Yeah.
And a piece of meat in that, that makes your beans twice as good, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like
pepper.
Like dried beans, what do you call it?
Pintos
and
uh-huh.
And what do you call them other butter beans? Yeah, butter beans. It makes them good.
Buster, I learned something from Mac Weaver. He has a pepper bush over there, 12 years old.
I know he does. He brings me some once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course the frost will kill it, but it'll come up from those roots. And you see, I don't know why I never knew things like that. I always knew that pokeberry, you see, you let it stay there year after year, and it gets a great big stalk. Comes up faster and bigger, you know. But I never thought about a pepper bush, a pepper plant being like
Mac
that.
Had, at one time, he had a lot of peppers. You know it? Those hot kind, you know?
Yeah.
Him and Gene Swinson. Out there in the country, and I think George Wilson down there. Most of them have all the peppers. They give them away around there. Old back pain me up some once in a while, so does old George Wilson.
You know, that's one thing you don't need much of.
And did you know he raises these bell pepper? Old George does around there, and he hardly ever eats them. He has plenty of them.
Yeah.
He said those things just keeps on bearing. When they get about half grown, just pull them off of there. First thing you know, they've got just as many on there as you pull off of there. He said them things will bear all summer, right on up until the frost kills them. Then
is
just
that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we get curious ideas. You take eggplant and squash. You know, as soon as the price goes down, the market goes down, they just let them go. So you just figure that it's a short crop. A plant season. But they'll just keep right on up to frost.
Mm-hmm.
Those eggplants will.
Sure will. They keep on putting on.
Yeah.
If you'll pull them off.
Yes, you got to keep them
picked. Keep them picked, sure. They'll keep on coming. They ain't like an orange. Take an orange tree and you pull them all off. It don't no more come that year. Of course,
no.
They will next year.
No.
But an old eggplant will.
Yeah.
And a pepper bush. Beans do that too, you know. Until the bush gets so big, then they quit bearing. But they'll bear for a long time. You just
mm-hmm.
pick them off. That's why more of them will come. Because you always get a second crop, they call it. You know. Folks, I got to go.
Marcel, let me tell you, before you go, I don't want to hold you up.
Okay.
Tell me about Mr. Boyd. I haven't talked to anybody about him. What
I declare if I know. I never have. I hate to even think about things like that.
Yeah.
And I never even ask no questions about it.
Is that right?
I hate to even think about something like that. That's bad. It's
mm-hmm.
real bad. That's a terrible, terrible death, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the old man, you know, before went out there and got a fire.
No.
This ain't the first time.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, last winter, Sugar Man told me that he went out there in that field and got lost.
Yeah.
And couldn't find his way back to the house. He said, usually he goes down that fence line and then he knows about where he's at.
Yeah.
Got on there and got in a big old hole and couldn't get out of the hole, and he had some matches, so he just built him up a little fire. Burned his clothes pretty bad, his legs. Fire, you know,
yeah.
He couldn't see, and
yeah.
Burned him. That was last, end of last winter.
Yeah.
And this time, you get out there in that barn, he didn't know where he was, you know, his mind's getting kind of bad too, you know,
yeah.
So they said.
Yeah.
Blind too, and he probably thought he was maybe in the house. Or might have thought he was out in the field building a little fire and got the darn old barn afire and he couldn't get out of there.
Yes, yes, that's right. He wouldn't be able to find his way out.
Couldn't find his way out after. No.
I don't know which barn that was. I've been over there like several times and one of them just sort of a lean to and really leaning.
That might have been the one.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
He, Miss Daisy was saying, and I was down there, you know, just talking to him, and she, of course, they never get things straight. But she had talked to Sugar Man one time, and he said they had tried to do things for him over there, you know. And the way Miss Daisy got it was, he was just so mean that even his children couldn't stand him.
They really say he was.
Well, he was.
Well, they tried to get him to let somebody live with him out there, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Didn't want to put him in a rest home. He didn't want to go to a rest home.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go live with none of the children. Didn't want them to live with him.
So
didn't want to live by himself.
And his disposition, the way he started out, he always was peppery, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of an oddball.
Yeah.
Funny, real funny.
Yeah.
The old man used to tickle me. He'd come up there and say, "Buster, I want to tell you a dirty joke." I said, "Go ahead." And he'd tell a dirty joke or two, you know. And at last, "Mr. Boyd, I done heard all them old jokes." Well, I had. And I said, "I'm kind of busy right now." I said, "Wait till some Sunday and I'll come out there and we'll talk all in." But I said, "I ain't got time to listen." And that's why he started talking about religion. Jump right off a dirty joke right onto religion.
Yeah.
And after a while, he'd just be almost preaching to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way people, when they get old, their mind gets kind of bad, I guess.
Yeah.
But he wasn't no, what you call, real evil-minded, I didn't think. He liked to tell old jokes. Well, everybody does that.
Yeah.
And I used to talk with him quite often then.
I think I have heard you tell a story or two.
I know plenty of them.
Yes.
That's even when the people start telling me, I done heard it before.
Yes.
Yeah, I know plenty of them.
Yes.
or maybe 4,000 or 5,000, not many, just a few.
Boston? And but a person has to be pretty insistent before you will tell them one. It's kind of hard to get one out of you.
Well, not necessarily. It all depends on the conditions. If a man drives up in a big red automobile and looks like he's fixing to go off somewhere, he needs something to think about on the way there, I generally tell him something like that, you know.
Yeah, whether he asks you or not.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. That's the best time to tell him. A fella ain't going to just drive up and say, you know a new joke?
Yeah.
You got to catch him off guard, you know, and tell him these things, you know. And that puts him to positive thinking, you know that?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You can see the blood rise.
Oh, you can see his face starts blushing, you know, and his ear lobes down, he starts turning red, you know, and kind of quivering a little bit, you know. He got something on his mind, eh?
Mr. Boyd, I heard him talk several years ago, but after I got out here, and he was, you know, failing then. But I thought he was a good talker, Buster.
He was.
In his time, he's been a pretty good talker.
Yeah. As far as I know,
yeah.
You can talk about most anything you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And he loved to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, old man, he liked to talk. Now, you take Sugar Man, he don't talk too much. None of them boys don't. They got the talkative type, but the old man was. He just loved to talk.
Well, I thought Sugar Man come up there and talk to you for an hour at a time.
He does, but some people he don't. Some people, don't say nothing.
Oh.
Well, he don't talk unless you make him.
Even you?
Yeah, he'll come up there and stand around there and wait for you to start a conversation,
oh, really?
You know. Yeah, he just kind of self-conscious a little bit, you know. You can tell that. But most of it, you talking to him. And he just laughing and say, yeah, that's right. And after a while, he'll talk to you a little bit.
Oh, I see.
But he don't lead the conversation, you know.
Yeah. Does he make all his living from lumber?
Yeah.
Why does Tommy have to have that beautiful house out there?
To live in? He looked funny living under a tree.
Well, you don't live in a house like that.
No, well, I just don't. I might someday. I might.
Think so?
You can't never tell.
Well, yeah, look at how much money he got in that Buster.
Who's that? Him? Oh, he's got. Well,
Tommy.
A house like that costs too much.
What I
think you ever been inside of it?
No, I'd make me ashamed to come.
Well, you missed something. You ought to go inside. Now he's got something in there to make your eyeballs, to make the pupils kind of dilate a little bit. He's got one of the most beautiful mantelpieces ever you looked at. I've never seen anything equal it. Never.
Yeah.
Things made out of white cement, and I believe it comes around like this here, kind of oval.
Yeah.
And it's got rocks inserted inside of it. Different colored rocks.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like granite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to see it. I'm not kidding you. It's surprising how it looks inside. It don't look good outside.
Well, how did he manipulate that?
He done it himself. I didn't know he could do that kind of work.
Well, has he done most of the work on that?
Quite a bit of it.
Carpet,
yeah.
Plumbing,
no sir. Yeah. How do you want to do that?
Like that, you know, you couldn't do shabby plumbing like I do over here. You're gonna have you'd want to do it.
Well,
right?
Now he had some help, off and on.
Yeah.
Such as, you know, plumbing. There was, and somebody helped him to put up the blocks, too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I think all that inside work he did himself. I know he did.
That's tedious
kind
of work.
It is.
You know, when I came down here, he was still a cowboy. And
he had built his corral out here from his boils, and he'd put it up out of old lumber they had got when they tore down the games the last time. I didn't know that. And he came over here a time or two and helped me. And then I tried to get in touch with him several times after that, and he seemed like when he got off from working with Mr. Zetrow, a crowd of them would be riding their horses and hunting these wild hogs.
Hmm.
Now that's what I thought Tommy did.
That's what he used to do.
Well, that's a big change, isn't it?
Yeah. But him and Zetrow was in partnership some way or another. Those cows out there, you know that?
Yeah.
I don't know just exactly how that thing did work out. But anyway, whenever they sold them cows, I think Tommy got a percentage.
Oh.
Because he worked out there all these years, you know, helping him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patterson still driving that bus?
He's not driving it. He's cowboying it. I wouldn't call that stuff that he's got driving it. Blowing the horn. I told old Charles Birch day before yesterday, I said, look at that nut under that steering wheel, loose nut under that steering wheel. And he come around the corner, toot, 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 just blowing the horn, you know. I said, what do they say, blow that horn? I said, take that horn off that bus, he couldn't drive. He's that just typical nigga. Well, it is. And if they see anybody pass by, he'd have blowing the horn at them. They're blowing back at him. Well, that takes his mind off of his business. Speaking of Tom, Dick, and Harry going by out there, he'd be looking down that road with a busload of kids. And he'll race that old motor in the morning and slip that clutch so he don't burn it out. I'll tell you what reason he's doing that. I figured that out yesterday morning. I got to listening at him. He's got that thing in too low a gear. If he had that thing in double low, like he should start off, he would have to do that. But he'll start off and the thing will almost choke down, and he'll push in on the clutch and race the motor.
Oh, yeah.
And that gives it more power to take off in that lower gear.
Yeah.
He's actually starting off in second. He's not starting off in double low. He's starting off in low, but he should be starting off in double low, as big as that bus is. That's the reason he has to slip that clutch and race that motor to pick up enough power to get enough momentum, you know, to make that thing take off. Well, that's bad on the bus.
It shakes it too, don't it?
Oh, yeah. And when it stops, he just stops it and that whole thing just rocks. It's one going to throw them kids out of the seat. Of course, they used to his driving, they just hang on.
Yeah, they don't care.
No, you take kids, they don't care. They think that's funny.
Yeah.
But the people trying to keep that bus up don't think so.
No.
Now, he turned that bus in last week to have it worked on. He stopped all that squalling on that old motor, I noticed. You know, fan belt was slipping.
Yeah.
Well, I could hear that thing all over town. I think he liked to hear that. Well, he liked to hear that, all that racket. All you got to do is get out there and put some stuff on it and stop that and tighten it up, you know.
Now, what was that?
Old fan belt is slipping on it, squealing.
Oh.
You hear that thing all over town.
It'll do that?
Yeah.
Well, I could do that on mine, couldn't I?
No. You don't race your motor like he does.
Well, if I race my motor, I could.
Oh, you got to start racing that motor. That's why they'd get loose and start slipping and do that,
and
sure.
And squeal?
Oh, good night. It sounds like somebody putting on brakes and skidding a tire. You're surprising how much noise a fan belt can make. You never heard one? You never heard one do that? Well, you could hear that thing from here to that highway over there just about. Man, they make a noise when they get loose, you know. That rubber is sliding down inside of that pulley. See? And it sounds just like somebody put on brakes on a car. Or get one wheel out of line, go down the road, and you hear it making that noise, you know.
Yeah.
It don't wear the belt so terribly much. It's just all that noise is irritating, you know.
Yeah, well, that little wheel, you know, is just slick.
That's what it does. Man, that thing just makes all kind of noise. And you take an old power steering noise, sometimes they're worse than a fan belt noise. A fella had a Mercury up in it real long ago. And when he turned that old air conditioning on, I've never heard such a noise in my life. Boy, that thing did make some racket. So I finally put him on a new belt. Mm-hmm. Man, it's a terrible noise.
He just let it go?
No, we fixed it. He couldn't stand it. Just too much racket.
He not like Patterson. And you think Patterson kind of loves to hear that?
He does. You know how niggas are. They got to have a racket going. They got them mounters going all the time, too. Well, up there where my wife works, she said they work and talk at the same time, and how in the world they get anything done, she don't know.
Just constantly
talking. Talking back to each other, you know, and talking and doing their work at the same time.
Yeah. Now, out here, I don't see Patterson on the bus, but I see him there at the house on his tractor, and he's always got that cigar.
He come uptown the other day, that old tractor had a trailer on it. He's going to haul some lumber in front of Buck Weaver's. He had to back that thing up three times to get that trailer backed in there. Beside that, to get it parallel with that load of lumber. And talk about him being a big, good driver. Tell me out there one day what a good driver he was. That old Charles Burch down at the garage said he was going to do a little welding on that old tractor one day. And he'd like to never back that thing in there because it had a little trailer behind it, you know. And you know, a little trailer's hard to back.
Some of them are.
Yeah. Especially got a short tongue on it like that in hand.
Yeah.
And old Charles said he like never got back in there, that old tractor.
Yeah.
Kept backing and seesawing around there, you know.
You know, I had heard that. I guess I never had a short tongue trailer. All mine have been long tongue.
I think a long tongue is a whole lot easier to back than a short tongue trailer. A short tongue trailer has a tendency to
cut,
turn quick.
Right.
Cuts quick.
The first thing, yeah.
Before you even know it, it's done. Now, I'll tell you the hardest thing in the world to back. Like that old record I got, you jack a car up on the back of it, and it's swinging.
Yeah.
Now, that's hard to back, too. You know that?
I never saw that.
That thing will, I don't know, it'll just get away from you before you can turn around.
Yeah.
Try to back it in a place, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if it was stationed there, it wouldn't, like a trailer, it wouldn't be so hard.
Yeah.
But that thing will start swinging. First thing you know, it'll just swing around and cut right on before you even start cutting the wheel good. It'll start going whichever way it wants to.
I hadn't thought of that.
It'll sure do it.
You still got that motor on your
record? Yeah.
Record.
Yeah, I've been waiting on a bushing. I just got it yesterday. I'm gonna try to get that thing in there tomorrow if I can.
Was this another motor?
Yeah.
Oh, you took the other one off and this is a new one.
Yep, I took the other one. I had another swinging up there and I took it and shipped it back to Chicago. Wasn't no good.
Now, I said to you, you know, we just standing there a minute, and you were fiddling with it, and I said, you're going to put it in this here crate. You know, it's a nice-looking crate.
I put it in that crate, too.
And you said it didn't come in it, but you had to put it in a crate to ship it back.
Did. It come out of a crate, so Butch told me. Said the man from the central truck line just come in and dumped it off in the garage. It wasn't no crate. But whenever I called up terminal up there, and also the same people to deliver it said they had to put in a crate. So we had to build a crate and put it in it.
Why, Buster?
Well, did you tell them it come without one?
No.
You didn't argue with him?
No, we would have done good. But I called him up and asked him if it definitely had to be crated, and they said, yes, it did. So I put the thing in the crate.
Buster, I feel better. I've been depressed. Everything I've done today, first thing I've done this morning, I hit my head on that shed out there.
Ooh.
I walk under it, you know, and it's too low, and every now and then I just crack it.
Man,
you know what it does when you hit your head on it like that? It feels like the shed had just come on over and knocked you down.
I know it.
That's the way it feels. It don't feel like you
what,
hit it. It feels like it has hit you.
The back end of it that way?
Yeah. It's too low.
Well, you know how to fix that, don't you? get you a jack, jack it up a little bit, and then take some water and pour down that hole, you know, where it'll put, you know, sand run under that post.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do.
Well, that's where I started off today.
You got it a little bit slanted so the water run off?
Just a little bit.
That don't make no difference. You
well,
have to be just as good.
I could let it slope this away.
It ain't going to rain but just one time or two. And the sun will come out and dry the water up. So it don't make a difference if the roof's flat up or not.
Now, you know how much I paid, how much I've got in that shed?
$600.
$125.
Is that all?
$80 of that is a tin.
Good gosh. How big it cost $500 to build something like that?
No, sir. I had, you got to go, Buster.
Yeah, I have.
You want me to pay him?
No, I wouldn't pay him.
Nah, I don't do that. Nobody else don't.
It's Channel 1 Ride 550, and the end of this beautiful little surprise tape, Busters. I couldn't start the Chrysler and left a note on his door. And here he came. It's 5:30 now. He's been here about half an hour. And we got him this time on Patterson. He really hit him off. That's his subject. That's the first time we've ever got him with his heart in it, Patterson. And he'd already threatened once, twice, had to go. Faye had this cake cooking, and it did smell good. 5:50, 55 it is now, Channel 1 right. Buster's visit this Friday, the 4th of December, 1970, about dark. 5:30 now. Faye's gone down to see if she can inveigle Miss Daisy up. I ruin and so on. This is Friday, the 4th of December, 1970, about dark. End of Buster's little visit, surprise visit.